Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today, I want to tell you something about death. Death is inevitable. It came as a consequence of Adam's sin, and it's been passed down to all of us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Nobody can escape it. And death won't be destroyed until after the millennial reign, until after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're reading about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in verse 25 and 26, Paul wrote this, "For he must reign," speaking of Jesus Christ, "till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." But you know something? You don't have to face death with fear, and you don't have to face death with uncertainty. Though death is our enemy, we have a guide. And our guide can take us to death and through death. Look in Psalm 48. In Psalm 48, we want the last verse of the psalm, verse 14. Psalm 48, verse 14. "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He will be our guide even unto death. So God is your guide unto death. And as such, what does he show us? Well, first of all, this. God guides you to accept death's reality. You see, as I quoted from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, death passed upon all men. It's a reality. When I say accept death's reality, it's like most people, until they're getting closer to the time of their death, don't really think about death. It's not something that you want to think about. But you must. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So it's coming. It is appointed. We have an appointment with death. When Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, he said something that I often remember. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war." You're not getting out of it. You say, well, what if the Lord returns and we're raptured, and we're saved and we're raptured before he comes? Okay, you'll be changed, but in essence, you've already gone through his death if you've trusted him, because the Bible says in Romans 6:6 that we're crucified with Christ and therefore dead with him, that we may be raised together. Listen, everybody goes through death. You might as well face it, and you might as well not deny it. If it's something that you haven't thought about seriously lately, at least during the time of this message, you should give death careful consideration. Your guide. Our guide is God, and he will be our guide even unto death. And what he'll guide you to do, which he's doing in this message, is to accept death's reality. It is going to come. But that's not all, of course. The second thing is that God guides you to prepare for your death. God guides you to prepare for your death. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Haven't you heard the expression, "Have you made your peace with God? Have you made peace with your Maker?" Or a person might say to the parson, remember the old cowboy movies, "I've made my peace with God." Well, you have peace with God, according to the Bible, through Jesus Christ, when you are justified by faith. Being justified by faith simply means you are trusting what Jesus Christ has already done for you at Calvary. You're trusting the gift of Jesus Christ to you by God Almighty. And when you put your faith in what Jesus Christ has already done, when he died for your sins and rose for your life, you're justified. That means God has already found you not guilty for your sins, and therefore you have eternal life. And when you know that, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God guides you to prepare for your death by accepting Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, the Bible goes on to say, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are prepared to die. That's the preparation. That's the spiritual preparation for death. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead when you trust him as your Savior. See, he gets you out of the grave. There's a resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Not only that, he gets you out of your body when it dies, so that your spirit and your soul can go to live with God forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is all about, at least the first part, is all about living in this earthly tabernacle, this body that we have. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord." So I'm saved, and I know that Christ is in me, and I'm in Christ, but I'm here talking to you on the radio right now because I'm still here on earth. My soul is still inside of my body, and as such, it is absent from the Lord, who is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Therefore, verse 7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." We are confident, verse 8 says, we're confident, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What Paul is saying is the moment that you breathe your last breath on this earth, you are going to inhale the first breath of heaven. You're going to be there immediately in the presence of the Lord. And your body will rest in a grave or in cremation, awaiting the return of the Lord at the rapture, when he will raise your dead body and fashion it just like his glorious body. You say, well, where is that? Well, there's in several places, but Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul wrote this, speaking of Jesus Christ, our Savior, from verse 20. He said, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So my vile body, you say, is your body really vile? I'll tell you. Don't take a shower for a while. Do some heavy labor for a while. And you begin to smell things and you're like, ooh, that doesn't smell right. Well, that's right, because it's vile. And he's going to change this vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, which is right now living forever. You can see it visibly if you are in heaven. And your body will rise. You know why? Because his body rose. You see, you have made every other preparation for your death, I presume. You have a will. That's a preparation for your death because it tells your executor, it tells the judge who probates your will, how the assets in your estate should be distributed, how any liabilities of your estate should be paid. You have a will. You have life insurance, presumably. Perhaps you have it through your company. Maybe you've made those arrangements yourself. Perhaps you've served our country, and that's given to you as a benefit. You have life insurance, and you feel good about that because you say, now I know that my heirs and estates will have finances to help them initially after my passing. You have life insurance. My liabilities can be paid. And you may have even arranged a pre-need funeral. Some people say, I know I want to be buried in this city. I know I want this funeral home to do my funeral, so I'm going to go ahead and make my arrangements now and pay. See, that's not uncommon. And you may have done each of those things. But my question to you is, have you prepared for your soul? See, a life insurance and a pre-need funeral and a will don't, they don't affect your soul. They're not preparations for your soul. What have you done about your soul? The Bible says you must be born again. You must be saved. And God, if you would look to God, guides you to prepare for your death, to say, okay, look, death is inevitable. That's a reality. And Jesus Christ has already done something so that when I die, I don't die. I mean, my body lies there at rest for a while, but my soul and my spirit go on living with God, awaiting the resurrection of my body. That's preparation. And that's all in receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, as a matter of fact, right here in this message right now, is guiding you to prepare for your death. That's why the psalmist said, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And he guides you to accept death's reality and then to prepare for your death. But that's not all. God guides you to finish your work before you die. You see, you have something to do. We all do. I mean, God created you for a purpose. You're not just here sucking up oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide until your day passes. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for everybody. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last thing that Paul wrote, this letter to Timothy that is published as Scripture. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that he was getting ready to die. I have fought a good fight. Watch it. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you see what Paul said? I know that the time of my departure is at hand, and I want you to know, Timothy, and therefore we know because we're reading what he wrote, I have finished my course. Paul was ready to die because he had finished the work that God had given him to do. That's really something. Jesus Christ said something very similar in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, you might know that that's the very famous chapter where Jesus Christ is dealing with the woman at the well in Samaria. And when she goes to tell the men that she has found the Messiah, the disciples come up and they see Jesus there. And they're trying to encourage him to eat in John chapter 4, verse 31. But he says in verse 32, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So in verse 33, the disciples are saying one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Now listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Well, that's an astounding statement, because that indicates that Jesus Christ knew that God had a will for his life and that he needed to do everything that God wanted him to do in order to finish that work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, that should be our meat as well. That should be why we live as well. Now, Jesus Christ came to the end of his ministry. And he was crucified. When he was crucified, according to John chapter 19, verse 30, when he was hanging on the cross, one of the seven things he said was, it is finished. Just like Paul said, I have finished my course, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. So, with God as your guide, that's what we're talking about today from Psalm 48. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You know what your guide is guiding you to do even unto your death? Finish your unfinished business. So if you have any unfinished business to which you need to attend, as we say down here, get her done. Get her done. You say, well, what kind of unfinished business might I have? I can't speak to that, but I can tell you some testimonies of some other people that had unfinished business. I remember years ago when I first really got started serving the Lord, the little church I was in was actually a mission of another church, and we had a hospital ministry, and we had a fellow that would go to the hospital and deal with souls, and he dealt with a lady. Eventually, he told the pastor, you need to go deal with her. She was a very bitter woman, and she was also very obstinate. The pastor went to visit with this woman, and I'll tell you, that woman got saved. She was elderly, and she was in the hospital, and the hospital was where she was going to be until she died. That lady, who was saved in the hospital, reconciled with every family member she ever offended before she died. That's what she did. That's an amazing thing. She told the pastor after she got saved, I have offended nearly every one of my family members, and I cannot die peacefully knowing that I've offended them. So she gave him information on how to get in touch with a family member who could get in touch with the rest of the family members that she wanted to see. And they came into her room one by one, and she apologized and reconciled with every single one of them. You know what she did? She took care of her unfinished business. A fellow diagnosed with cancer. Once he knew that he had cancer, and he had, you know, a kind of cancer where the doctor could anticipate at that time about how much more time he had to live, which was a couple of years. You know what he did? He traveled around the country. He got in an RV and traveled around the country, meeting up with old friends for one purpose, to tell them about Jesus Christ. He had gotten saved, and he wanted his friends to know two things. Number one, that they needed to be saved. And number two, don't worry about me, because when I die here, I'm going to be safe in heaven. That was a tremendous thing. He witnessed to every single friend he could remember that was still alive. The thief on the cross is a good example in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 45. He's a good example of a person taking care of some unfinished business. 3 hours. Because what he did at the sixth hour, and at the ninth hour, that's when everybody died. In the sixth hour, so about noon, 3 hours before his death, he believed on Jesus Christ. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My question to you is this, what unfinished business do you need to attend to? Because your guide, God, who is your guide, even unto death, wants you to be able, like him, his own son, it is finished. Like Paul, I have finished my course. To be able to say, you know what? I have no unfinished business. I've taken care of everything. Now, right now, as I've mentioned this to you, perhaps the Holy Spirit has put something into your heart and mind that is an indication, hey, you know what? You got this to take care of. And then you go take care of it. How about that? God is your guide unto death. God guides you to accept death's reality. God guides you to prepare for your death. God guides you to finish your work before you die. And that's not all. One more thing. God guides you to face your death with joy. You say, oh, that's a hard thing. Maybe it is if you face death without your guide. But if you sincerely trust God to guide you into and through death, you may find, in fact, that it's not as hard as you thought. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we're speaking here about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wait a minute. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and the Bible says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You know what he was able to do? He was able to face death with joy. How did he do that? God was his guide. You know, we've quoted Paul the Apostle. Paul lived every day of his life in anticipation of his death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he's talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in verse 31, I die daily. Every day, Paul woke up and said, okay, this could be it. I'm dying today. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, I've got something to do for Christ today, and this is a good day because I'm living for Christ. But if you want to know what I'm really living for, to die is gain. Okay, I'll grant you, death is not a joyous occasion. I've witnessed it numerous times. There's a lot of sorrow with it. When you're with loved ones watching their, father, mother, grandmother, wife, husband, child, whatever it may be, pass. Long faces, tears, sadness, sorrow. But you know something? For you, death does not have to be a scary event. Just talking to somebody yesterday. And he said to me, now that he's saved, he said, you know, I used to fear death. I mean, with a lot of fear. But now that I've trusted Christ, I don't fear death anymore. Does not bother me. Doesn't give me nightmares. I don't have bad dreams about it. I'm not even scared. Death does not have to be a scary event. Death does not even have to be a dreaded event. When you face death with the certainty of a victor, you can go out joyfully with the assurance that you're going to live forever. You say, well, how can I face death as a victor? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's so much comfort in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right toward the end, beginning with verse 55, after Paul has already told us about what it's going to be like to have our corruptible bodies become incorruptible and our mortal bodies to become immortal. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you face death as a victor when you face death being guided by God and being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, since Jesus Christ has already been through death, he will guide you to death and he will guide you through death the whole way. You see, death is not a mystery to Jesus. Jesus already knows that the good stuff is on the other side of death. He wants you to have the assurance that things are going to be much better when you put off your earthly tabernacle. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a good reason to have God as your guide even unto death. I mean, death is coming. Death is coming. You can't, it's inevitable, and you must be prepared. You can sincerely face death with bravery. You can sincerely face death with joy when you're prepared. Let me read the last words of a fellow named Christopher Chober. Christopher Chober was one of the martyrs, and his last words are recorded in a book called Last Words of Saints and Sinners, written by Herbert Lockyer, published by Kregel Publications from Grand Rapids, Michigan. The copyright is 1969, and the page number is 143. Here's what Christopher Chober said when he stepped onto the scaffold. I come in the name of God to die for his glory. I have fought a good fight and finished my course. So, executioner, do your office. Hey, you know what that is. That is a man who got guided to his death by God and could face it with bravery and joy. May I tell you something? Please, please, let God guide you to death. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.